After the sermon, we'll have a song. And Steve, I'll ask you to close the service then. That way I don't have to do all the talking here this morning. I do feel a little under the weather. I woke up with a headache this morning, and it's only gotten worse, not better. So maybe it'll be a little shorter this morning. And I hope you're okay with that. For a message this morning, I'd like to think about building on a strong foundation. I'd like to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And there's a lot of different voices that are speaking in today's world. There's a lot of different voices saying a lot of different things. And I'm not necessarily talking about people's voices, although that is one of the ways it comes to us. I'm talking about so many different ideas and theologies and philosophies and doctrines and articles and books and podcasts and music, and it goes on and on and on, and there's just a lot of different things that are speaking into our lives all the time, and it seems like it's more than ever. In recent years, it seems like, again, we've seen a shift among maybe young people, young families, to move away from the heritage that they have been given to something else. Why? Are they right? Are they wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? All my life, I've watched people walk away from the faith. Usually, it was pretty easy. It was for carnal reasons, and you could see it. I had friends I grew up with that I don't even want to think about. All the ones that I've known that have walked away and followed themselves, some that have ended up in jail, some that have come back. But it seems a little bit different when you see people listening to so many different religious voices and making choices on those things. And it seems like there's so much to decipher, so much criticism, yet so much enlightenment. And what do we do with it all? And we gather around the table at the holidays, and you can't but help but see the changes, see the differences. And such is some of us. Some of us have made some changes and some differences. And even in families where there is no noticeable change, we know that there's forces that are moving behind the scenes. And things are happening in people's lives, and maybe you can't see it. But sooner or later, truth comes out in some form or another. What's happening? What are the forces that are working behind the scenes? What's keeping us true? What's taking us down? I just want to think about that this morning. What kind of a foundation do we have? What are we building on? Are we building? Are we building straight? What are we going to end up with? Are we even building? So I had read some verses from 2 Timothy this week, and I wanted to spend time in 2 Timothy chapter 2, especially verses 19 to 26. But I like to read the whole chapter and probably focus on the second part. But the first part of the chapter helps us to look, talks realistically about what the Christian life could be and how much work it can be. And he talks about it, he talks about a soldier needing to endure hardness, needing to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And if you think about an earthly soldier and what they do, obviously we don't believe in going to war. We don't believe in killing. We believe that there's a different way to win our enemies rather than killing your enemies. But if you think about, in an earthly sense, people that leave their families, leave many other opportunities to go and serve, and leave the comforts of home. They didn't have their, some of them may have, but many of them didn't have their Thanksgiving turkey, especially those that are in active conflict. Of course, it's not a universal holiday, but they leave the comforts. They don't get to see their children grow up. They don't get to see many things happen. They're taken away. And they endure that hardness because they believe in a cause that they want to support, and what that cause will do for them. And he says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to endure some hardness. We're going to have to stand for some things. We're going to have to wade through a bunch of different voices saying things to us and have to know what is the truth. What can we build on? What can we stand on? We're going to have to wade through these things. We're going to have to be a Christian, and it's going to be hard work sometimes, and we're going to want to give up sometimes, but the rewards are worth it. That's what he says in this chapter. How can we make it? And when you're young, you don't really think about so much, how can I make it? That's not as much what we think about. When we're young, we're a teenager, we think about the questions and the criticism, and this doesn't seem right, and that doesn't seem right, and what about this and that? And why do we have to live this way? Why can't we do it differently? You can. You can. You don't have to live one certain way unless you want to just talk about truth. We have to live for truth. There's only one truth. Truth only comes through the Word of God and through His Spirit working in our lives. There is only one truth, but there's many different applications to the truth. And Mennonites aren't the only ones getting to heaven. And not all Mennonites will make it to heaven. But we have to build our lives on something. What will it be? And when we start to look into the Word of God and what it teaches us, it helps to build appreciation for what our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have fought through and chosen and made choices. And that gives us a lot. And that yet each one of us personally has to look at it and evaluate it and pick it up or lay it down. I can't get you into heaven. You got to get there yourself. You have to find the way. So I like to read this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And so he's talking here about the soldier and his dedication to the cause and making sure he doesn't be sidetracked with other things. And then in verse 5, he talks about probably, you would say, the athlete, a man striving for the masteries, yet he is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. In other words, you still have to follow the rules. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So Paul's saying, he is more than happy when he remembers that he's living for Jesus. Jesus died for his sins, and he's more than happy to suffer being bound. And he was there. He couldn't travel. He couldn't go preach. He was bound. He was kept. And yet he said, God's word's not bound. And so he was writing letters and sending them out, knowing that his bonds were not keeping him from spreading the gospel. God's word could still go out and change lives. And he was looking forward to the reward that is coming. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Does that sound familiar? I'm talking about all the different voices that we hear. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. There's an awful lot of talk that goes on discussing all these different things, and yet not discussing the Bible. Are we studying the Bible? Are we understanding it? Verse 15, That's the answer he gives us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I have both those phrases underlined in my Bible. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And that's the third time he says that in this passage. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I was going to also read verse 19 to 26 in the NLT. I forgot to print it out before I came, and I forgot to bring my phone up here. But if you get a chance, it's good to also. I really enjoyed the NLT translation of these verses, especially verse 19 and to the end. False teachers are everywhere spreading lies. And it's no surprise, because Jesus said that's the way it would be. The evil men, seducers, would wax worse and worse. Some of them distort the truth. In other words, twist the truth. Some of us can twist the truth, make it say what we want it to say, to preserve our heritage or to preserve our thoughts. It's possible we can be false teachers, but there's a lot of false teachers out there, and when I say distort, we twist it. We make it fit my ideas. We shape it to my ideas. We look for verses that support my thought, instead of looking for all the verses on a subject. We look for the verses that support my ideas and use them at the expense of others. And so, false teachers are, there's three different things I'm going to give you about false teachers. They're distorting the truth is the first one. Secondly, they're diluting the truth. It's false teachers diluting the truth. They're watering it down. They're saying it doesn't mean that, or it has a different meaning, or that was just an application for Paul's day. Or they're saying it's not just the Bible that you have to put your truth upon. There's a number of different religions that add other things to it. Maybe it's the Book of Mormon. Maybe it's the Quran. Maybe it's 1,500 years of tradition that you have to go look at. And you can't just read the Bible for truth. You have to go look beyond that. And thirdly, there are some that are deleting the truth. They're cutting it out. They're getting rid of it. And that's probably more where I said, where they say it no longer applies. It doesn't apply to us. You don't have to be baptized anymore. That was for Paul's day. That was for people coming from the one covenant to the other, or all kinds of things, ways you can take the Bible and make it say something that it doesn't say. And it's happening around us, and this is what false teachers are doing. And we need to be careful that we don't fall prey to those. No matter how many people follow the liars, God's truth is still the truth. God's truth never changes. It never fades. It's never shaken. Doesn't matter how many people follow the liars. It doesn't. And we know when we believe the truth and follow the truth and live it out for his honor and glory, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And praise God for that. Recently, I heard of an older preacher. And it wasn't a preacher from one of our circles. It was from a different circle, obviously, because we believe in bringing, ordaining out of our own members. And he was talking to young men who want to enter the ministry of their own choice, which is how it is in many churches. And he said to them, someone asked him, what would you say to young men that want to enter the ministry? And he said, don't go to seminary. Don't go to school. Just read your Bible and pray. That's all you need to do. And it's true. Know your Bible. Read your Bible. And pray a lot. This is something we all can do. This will preserve us from false doctrine. This will keep us in the truth. God's Spirit will guide us into truth. We don't have to know everybody else's ideas. We need to know what the truth is. Well, what can we do to be strong? Thinking about building on a strong foundation, I have four things that I'd like to share with you this morning to be strong. And the first one that I have is what I just mentioned, is know your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it. Read it again and again and again. Memorize it. Glad to hear Tevier, I think it was, said the memory this morning. Memorize the Bible. Memorize the scripture. I always struggled to memorize. Even in school, I just couldn't memorize. And I think some of you know that because there's a lot of things I forget. My memory just isn't as keen as what some people's are. But it doesn't mean we don't try. And through reading the Bible again and again and again, I can remember where things were, and I can remember phrases, and God's Spirit helps bring it to us as well. But if you can memorize the Word of God, memorize it, read it, know it, we have to know what the truth is. Compare verses with verses. Know where to find them. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 13 to 17. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And he's teaching us here that this is all you need. This is all you need. All we need is the Word of God, and that we need to continue in these things that we've learned. The Scriptures are able to make you wise. It's able to teach us, correct us, inspire us, and help us to be holy. And in verse 17 it says it makes us perfect. You want to be perfect, you need your Bible. That's what you need. And that's what we want to promote this morning. You don't need everybody else. Yes, please listen to what people have to say. But ultimately, compare it to the Word of God. Now, not everybody's going to stay here in these walls. Some of you are going to move somewhere else. Young people grow up. They find partners in other communities. The call of the gospel comes to go serve somewhere, and some of you may leave one Sunday and we'll never see you again. That's what happens. It's what happened when I was growing up. There's some people that went other places. It doesn't mean they fell away from the faith, but they were following God. And if at some point you feel God leading you somewhere else, young people or anybody, if you go from truth to truth, I won't be devastated at all. I'll be happy to see you go and serve. If you continue to live out the biblical principles of the Word, even though it looks a little differently than maybe what we do, it's okay if you're following the Word of God. Obviously, as long as we're in this congregation together, we want to work together, and it saves us from a lot of strife, from a lot of finger-pointing, from a lot of trouble if we respect each other and agree to follow and work out these practices together. It's a good thing. It makes us stronger. But if you go out of these doors and you don't do everything the same, but you're still following the same principles in the Word of God, I won't be disappointed at all. But if you walk out these doors and you quit reading your Bible, if you stop living out the biblical principles in everyday life, if you turn to selfishness or humanism or you want to be the smartest one around, and you start following that. Only failure. Failure is the only outcome of when we start following that path, unless we find Christ again. And it'll be a big disappointment. And so I want, again, to reinforce this, that I want to see you following truth and following the Word of God and applying it to your life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn back to chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Whoops. Yes, that's what I wanted. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That was a verse we just read. But study to show yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. The second point I'd like to tell you what you can do to be strong. The first one was know your Bible. The second one is know your Lord. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who you're serving? Do you know what this God that we're serving, what he wants from our lives? Have we given our life to him? Have we done that? Are we still giving our life to him? In chapter 1 of this book, verse 12, he says, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Do you know the one that you've given your life to? Most of us here have named the name of Christ. We've committed our lives to him. We said we're going to lay down that old nature. We're going to take up the new nature, and we're going to pursue righteousness and holiness. Are we willing to do that? Are we continuing to commit that to him? Chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Where are we going to for strength? Are we strong in the strength that is in Christ Jesus? Do we trust in his power? Do we trust that our sins are forgiven? Do we trust that his yoke truly is light and easy? Do we trust that he will keep his promises to us? Do we trust that his way is better than our way? Do we know our Lord this way? Do we know our Lord? Or am I just living my life hoping that it all works out? Is that what it's about? We hoping it all works out. And everything keeps us busy and everything keeps us distracted. How much do we pray? How much do we pray? How much do we talk to him? No man that warreth entangleth himself. Are we entangling ourselves with too many things? I know I continue to make mistakes. I continue to get caught up in things. And, I mean, we can buy new chippers and trucks and we can get excited about it, right? But that's such a little thing. It's here to serve our earthly needs. It's not here to serve our spiritual needs. These things take away from our spiritual lives. They don't add to it unless we're using it to lay up treasure in heaven and benefit other people's lives. Well, this isn't just a young people problem. This is an old people problem. Young people seem to like their thrills, they like their fun, and they like their passions, and there's many things that choke it out. But old people like their security. They like their career, they like their equity that they're building up, just put it that way. And they want to know that they're not going to have a lot of needs. And all that does is make us do a little less praying than what we should do, probably. How can we live with earthly things without becoming too earthly? Well, we're here to give. We're here to serve. He says, I was going to look up that verse, but let every man labor that he may give to him that needeth. And we're here to gain so we can give, not gain so we have. Number 3, and that brings us to the third one. Know the narrow way. Know the narrow way. Verse 19 says, there's two things that we're building this foundation on. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And so we have this consolation that we know God and God knows us. And this is a wonderful foundation to have, that reassurance in our heart. His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And then he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that's what we're talking about here. Do we know the narrow way? Are we willing to depart from iniquity? Or do we have to have just enough of it to keep us going? Matthew chapter 7, you probably recognize that's where this thought comes from. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And this is Jesus saying, there's not that many people getting into the strait gate. And yet, when you hear some of these voices talk in our life, you think everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. And that's not what Jesus taught. He said, there's few that be. And it's only the ones that are willing to follow him. I didn't say be conservative, because that can lead us astray. I think it's a good thing to be conservative, but that can lead us astray. It's the people that are willing to follow him and cut off the flesh and not trust in it. We can trust in so many things, conservative being one of them. And we need to trust in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Being ready to give up self, just like Jesus did. Do you think Jesus had some ambitions in his life? Of course he did. You think he wanted to get married? I'm sure he did. You think he wanted to be successful? But he knew what his calling was. He knew he needed to lay these things down, and he laid it all down. And we need to do the same. We have to give up many things that we want for what he wants. And, of course, there was verse 22. I wanted to bring your attention to that again. Flee also youthful lusts. I went and turned away from my passage here. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and then the call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so, the bigger part of the verse is what we follow, and I wanted to emphasize that. We need to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And if all we're doing when we get up in the morning is thinking about the things that we can't have and the temptations that we don't want to fall to, we probably will. But let's say no to those things and immediately turn to doing righteousness, following peace, faith, love. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Not by ourselves, with other people. Thought about Paul whenever he was struck down on the road to Damascus. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Found himself on the wrong way and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So the fourth thing that I have here that we need to know our calling. We need to know our calling. What does God want from my life? Are we open to a calling? Are we even open to having a calling that God can put a demand on our life and say, I want you to go to the Ukraine and serve while there's war all around? Or do we know what we want to do and that's what we stick with? I've had some cousins that have moved to other countries, and you look at the things they give up to go there, and you wonder, maybe God wants me to do something like this. What's he going to call me to? Sometimes maybe we get a little too comfortable with the things that we decide are his calling, and we don't listen for any more calls. Is it possible that God will give you another call to somewhere else? We have seen that happen a lot in Scripture. We know what we want from life. This comes natural. But do we know what he wants? Verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And that's where I liked where the NLT said it. So what he's saying is here, in a wealthy household there's many vessels. There's many cups, bowls, whatever you want to call it. Many kettles, many different items. And I suppose in a poor house there is too. There's always a serving dish and a garbage pail in every house. If that helps you understand it a little bit better. What vessel will you be? There are some to honor and there are some to dishonor. There's some plates that you want, some vessels in your house that you want to eat off of and some that you don't want to. And then he applies that to us. What is God calling us to? Are we a vessel that God can use? Or are we filthy? Are we the garbage pail? How's God going to use that for something good? Are we willing to be cleaned up and to be something, a vessel of honor? Let's be a vessel of honor. Let's be willing to be used. Let's be willing to, well, Christian service, it takes the focus off of us and it puts it on somebody else. And that's really, really good for us. It's good if we go out and serve other people. It takes the focus off of me. What will we say yes to? What will we say no to? It determines our destiny. Do we want to be within the will of God or don't we? History will tell a story about us. It already is. Do we like the story that's been written? Do we like the things that are said about us, our reputation? Some people set out to change their reputation by changing what everybody says. Doesn't change anything. Change your reputation by making good choices. That'll change it. Young people, how strong are you? How strong do you want to be? Are we willing to follow these steps? Do we know our Bible? Do we know the truth? Do we know our Lord? Do we know the narrow way? Do we know His way? Have we been set free from the broad way? And do we know our calling? Have you found purpose in life? Are you asking God for purpose in life? There are a lot of voices that are calling our name. A lot of different people that want to get our attention. A lot of people that want to call us. Do we know the voice of the Master, that we can recognize the difference between the voices? Let's kneel for prayer. Father, this morning we just want to thank you that you haven't left us alone. But you've come to us in a still small voice, and you've spoken into our lives. You come to us through the Word. You come to us through the preaching of the Word. You come to us in so many ways. You come to us through nature, and you show us yourself. And we thank you again for pleading and calling for us, for bringing us to a place of decision again and again where we have to make a choice between two. And we thank you for the peace and the joy and the happiness that we get as we give up things and we hand them over to you. So again, this morning, we ask you to speak into our lives and help us to be the people that we need to be. Father, I pray for protection around our young people, around ourselves, around our own lives, as we realize there's so many different voices that are calling to us. There's so many distractions that are calling to us. Help us to be true to you, true to your word, true to the call of your Spirit, and help us to make applications in our lives, choices where we can follow you, where we can live this out in everyday life. Help us to have it as the center of our life and not something that we fall back on once in a while. So give us strength and courage to face the battles this week. We don't know what they will be, Lord, but we know that there will be some, and we pray that you would help us live godly in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.